Hey guys, how's everybody? Y'all good? You're quiet. It's good to be back. Everybody was slow rolling in. It was like 3 minutes till nine. There was like four of us in here. I was teasing. I said, was Pastor Don preaching heresy all week or something? I said, did he drive everybody? They said, no. And Randy said he was preaching Old Testament all week. I said, oh, that explains it. Then he's out on a cross in the parking lot. So. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we're going to have fun today. Visitors are saying, what's he talking about? We don't need to go into it. I'm just going to believe the gospel today. God's good. I'm going to receive communion. You ready? I'm going to thank him for his precious holy blood that washed us clean and made us free from all sin. Amen. Not some sin, all sin. All sin. Yeah, thank you. Go to 2 Peter 1 real quick. Who knows how quick it'll be. Let's just go there. I just want to read something that came on my heart. God, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Jesus is really awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Guys, ready? Yes. 2 Peter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those. Who's he writing to? To those who have obtained like precious faith. How did we and why do we have a like precious faith? How have we obtained a like precious faith? By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the author of our faith, guys. The reason he authored faith is because he brought the manifestation of God's love and God's mercy and God's loving kindness and God's forbearance. He authored our faith. He started faith in our hearts. He wrote faith in our hearts when he sent his Son. He gave us a hope that we didn't have. He gave us an understanding that we didn't have. He revealed a truth that was always there but was hidden. And now it's revealed. So the righteousness of God, the judgment of God saying he's made you right through his Son, writes faith in our heart. Does that make sense? Now, if he authored it, the Bible says he's going to finish it. How's he going to finish it? Well, one way he's going to finish it is he's never going to change his mind about you. Come on. It's a big deal. You guys awake? You all right? Because I'm always awake, so I don't want to overwhelm anybody. You get me at 3 a.m, you ask Todd. He woke me up sleepwalking one time. And I opened my eyes. We went to bed at 1, and he opened my eyes at about 3:30. And I said, hey, buddy, what's up? What's up? He's sleepwalking, talking. And I was like, hey, are you okay, buddy? Big smile on my face. In the morning, he came to and looked at me and realized it was. He said, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I said, no, hey, what's going on? Are you dreaming? And he woke up in the morning. He said, I'm glad you're my roommate. You live this thing you're preaching. I woke you at 3:30 and all you could do was smile and say, hey, buddy. He said, most people would have been mad. I need sleep. I got to preach tomorrow. I get up at 9 to preach. I got to get up at 7 to preach at 9. Ah. He said, you just said, hey, buddy. That's so funny. Listen, God will never change his mind about us. It's very, very, very important that we continue in truth. It's very important that we stay hooked up to the fact that God sees us made right through the blood of Jesus. It'll keep you from growing weary and well-doing. It'll keep you from guilt, condemnation, shame. It'll keep you from looking in the mirror and seeing less than what he sees. It's on the wall. I see it every time I teach. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom's released to us through that righteousness. It's a big deal. It's not something to get familiar with. It's not a Bible term. It's the way God sees you. Amen? And it invokes intimacy and relationship. And it's a real big deal. So where'd faith come from? The righteousness of God. Where did the righteousness of God come from? His love. Faith works through love. He was willing to make you right through His Son. He seemed to think the death of His Son was worth your life lived. Don't ever forget this stuff. Trials come, troubles come, pressures come. I just met a lot of folks this week who were really tried and pressed and didn't. Honestly, some of them did and some of them didn't. A few did, some of them didn't. Some went to global school. We've had met before. Some of them had amazing vision and perspective in the face of trial. And then I noticed a lot of others had a lot of trial and not clear, rooted and grounded perspective. So the trial just drives you, determines you, molds you, shapes you, and you're a product of what you're going through. And there's a difference. There's a major difference. I saw two different folks there, some going through extreme stuff and you wouldn't know it, and some going through extreme stuff and it was so apparent. And the only difference between the two is what they were believing. It's not that it's wrong to have moments or to weep or to, you know, feel like you want prayer for things. I'm talking when it drives you, when it determines what you see and don't see. There's a difference. And it was a very interesting week. And we just preached a lot of truth and saw a lot of good things. Grace and peace be multiplied. So the righteousness of God's proclaimed here. It stirred faith in us. We're rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Amen. We're not just positioned in Christ. We're rooted and grounded in love. Grace and peace. No wonder grace and peace. It's pretty good news. Be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. So the increase of the knowledge of God should increase grace and peace. As His divine power has given to us all things. How many things? Man, this stuff's to be sought out, searched out, and lived out and fleshed out, not questioned, challenged, and debated. Man, childlike hearts should be seeking Him in the secret and hungry to know Him, because He just gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness through Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to understand that and I want to walk in that. And I don't even mind if I don't totally understand it. I'm just willing for it to be revealed, and I'll be aware as I go. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't have to have a head knowledge of what that really means, because that's deep. All things pertaining to life and godliness. That means grace is available to absolutely cause my life to be godly. Grace is available to form me and make me like the heart of God because I'm willing. And I don't want to draw the line intellectually to how possible that is and where that is. You follow me? I don't want to determine how high I can fly. I don't want to determine how much I can look like Jesus. I don't want to be the determining factor. I want the grace and peace and the promise that gave me all things pertaining to life and godliness. I want that to decide. So I put myself in position for God to fashion me through relationship. And guys, I travel all the time, and everywhere I travel, I realize people are seeking to know God through His Bible, through teaching, through conferences. And a lot of people don't have strong, intimate relationship, communion, fellowship, receiving the love of God and thanking Him that He's amazing and He loves them. That wouldn't make me cry. I got tears all inside of me right now. Because it's an absolute fact that a large percentage of God-seeking people don't seek Him when they're all alone in the place of His love for them. And asking Holy Spirit to have His way and appreciating the person of Holy Spirit in their life. And God, I thank You that You love me so much You would send Your Son. I'm finding that a lot of people don't have that at all. They just pray about stuff and read their Bible and ask for prayer and impartation a lot. The greatest impartation you ever receive is when Jesus comes into your bedroom and touches you when nobody's there. I'm just telling you. I'm just saying. Thank God for impartation. Do you see me right now? I'm so toasted and I don't know what I'm going to do today. This stuff is real to me. It's amazing. It's all I can preach, this kind of thing, this relationship thing. I get pursued. I'm pursued more in my life right now than I've ever been in my life. I don't even know what to do about it. It's actually the first time it's puzzled me. I'm so pursued, I don't even know what to do. Everybody wants a minute, and everybody says it's just a minute, and I don't even feel like I have a minute. You have no idea. I cleared my message machine, and on Friday it was already full. I got home at 11:30 last night and went to bed at 12:30. I'm back here at the school. It's just the way it is. I got so many phone calls, it doesn't make sense. I have a granddaughter that's coming over today to spend time with me because I haven't seen her for 8 days, 9 days. And life is fast. But I live a certain way that keeps me a certain way. And I encourage everybody and the people that are crying out and they want answers and they're gravitating towards me because they see something that's alive. This week they were like, there's life inside of you. You embody this. You're not just preaching this. I can see it's you. So then they get hungry for it. And my heart cry is, it's not just a gift. I'm in relationship with Almighty God. It's not just a gift. It's not a gift that I'm supposed to pass on to you. Be gifted. Be gifted. Know Him. It doesn't work like that. You come to know Him by spending time with Him. Forcing yourself to shut down your mind if you have to. And start living from your heart. If what you're thinking isn't edifying you and taking you to Him, then it's probably a good thing to just push out what you're thinking. Yeah, but, brother, yeah, buts don't do well. Yeah, buts are keeping us from Him. He loves you. He sent Jesus for you. And He's calling you home into His presence. Not just to learn about Him, but to sit with Him, to be with Him, to let Him consume your mindset, your understanding, the way you see. You follow me? Come on. He gave us all things. Now, if you go around the average room of the gathering of the believers, we don't feel like we're walking in all things pertaining to life and godliness. But He gave us all things, so it's there. You follow me? I'm not scolding you. I'm not correcting you. I'm cheering you on. I'm saying let's go deep into relationship with God. And some of this stuff gets in. You know, I come back from a weekend and I usually have a strong tone or a heart. It's because things get revealed to me. I'm always learning. I'm always growing. I'm watching the big picture of the people of God. And I'm seeing there's a general message there, a basic tone. There's a commonality of thinking and of position. Well, it empowers you to address it a lot of times. And I'm not saying it's you, but I'm finding that it's widespread stuff. People are hungry for reality. Reality is just communion with God away. Reality is just a step away from continuing in Him. Amen? And not growing weary and well doing. So I'm not scolding you. I'm saying, man, this is awesome. This is true. It's through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue by which we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. We've covered this stuff before. I preach on this stuff a lot. Look at this. That through these promises we can partake of what? The divine nature. He is not talking about meeting the needs of your day here. He's talking about transforming you from within. The promises guarantee that Christ will fashion you from the inside out. That His nature will become your nature. Isn't that cool? The promises reveal that God wants to give you Himself. Not just bless you. We got this mindset that we need God to bless us and that we're in this for God to move in our lives. You hear those terms all the time. And do things that we need and answer our big prayer lists. And what I want before I even think of any of that is His divine nature so I can see all that clearly. And so that stuff doesn't determine who I am and where I'm living from. Because that's not true in a lot of cases, there's a lot of frustration, discouragement, anxiety, despair. And yet the whole time He's Lord. So there's nothing He's missing. He's not a good daddy. We need to just see this stuff. So I want His divine nature. That's what the promises are for. That I be conformed to the image of His Son. I'm just letting you guys know that's my first priority in life. It's pretty interesting that God wants us to have that. It's because that's how He created us in the first place. Man, the intention for man was the image of God. Now, isn't it amazing that all the promises pertain to partaking of Him? So He hasn't changed His mind, has He? Who's ever felt like they went off the deep end and went too far and lived foolishness? And isn't it amazing God never changed His mind? He says, I know who you are. Yeah, but I know who you are. That's not you at all. There's something so powerful about receiving the love of God. I just got some letters in the mail from people. People can't get me on the phone, so they write me real long letters. See, there's stuff you don't understand because you don't minister at the level I do. But some people that are really hurting, and I'm not making fun and I'm not being mean right now, they're really hurting and their life gets paralyzed by their condition, and all they do is have time to feel about it and think about it. So when they write a guy like me, they write me not one page, like four. And it's small print and it's the whole page. And it's like reading a book to me. When I open it up, I have to ask God for grace. You have no idea, because you have to read, and they write out their whole story in life, and it's more than a ministry time on the phone, just reading that. And people don't understand, so they mail that to you, and it's because they have need. They're not bad people. But it captivates you where it's all you can see, and all you do is have time to think about what you're going through and express it, talk about it, and it becomes your story because it's real. It's affecting you. Every time in those situations, I find myself telling people the same thing, and it's not because we're not creative in counsel. He's the Spirit of counsel. Every time I talk to Him about receiving God's love, you can hear in every expression that what's missing is the ability to receive His love, because they're identified through this. Are you following me? And this becomes who they are. And until this changes, they can't. That's deception. Yes, you can. This is first. Always. You guys all right? Okay. I'm just trying to take communion here, but there's stuff here you can't just skim over. I took us here and I thought, God, this is dangerous. This is a powerful chapter. But there's things we'll learn here. This is everyday life stuff. This isn't just healing the sick. I thank God for healing the sick. But this is everyday life stuff. You want to live healthy. You want to have an amazing clear eye. Because if your eye's single, did you ever notice when it talks about the eye being the lamp of the body in Matthew 6:22, Luke 11:34? The eye's the lamp of the body. If your eye is single, your whole body's flooded with light. It never said unless, of course, you're faced with challenges and issues. Because we all are. Let's be real. We all are. There's things in every one of our lives that could change and we'd rejoice. True? Am I being right? But if you focus on that, from that place you're trying to reach Him. And He's already come. And it's backwards. It's psychological. It's backwards. Okay, I said enough on that. I just want to cry out these things because it's so healthy. It'll keep us, even if we haven't seen change, it'll keep us from dipping and climbing and dipping and climbing. Do you know how tired that makes people? Who's a John? John's a runner. John's run before. John, would you be more tired running a course like this or running a course like this?
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Did you? No, I understand. I like them too. I run them on purpose. But which one is the harder workout and tiring? And which one screams your flesh and your flesh goes, no, or ah. See, there's analogies here because I got a runner in the room. When a Christian thinks this is the normal Christian life, he's already tired before he starts the course. Because he's like, oh no. I'm just telling you, I've said it for years. I've done that from the pulpit. There's tapes, CDs I know everywhere that have that on. And I say, this is not the normal Christian life. It's just not. And it'll keep you from dipping and climbing and dipping and climbing in the midst of anything. And it's true. Okay. So we've partaken of His divine nature. Oh, God. So I had to set my communion stuff down. I get tired of holding it. I got nervous. I thought it might be a while. Watch this. He just talked about receiving the divine nature and told us in receiving the divine nature, we just escaped from something. The corruption that's in the world through lust. We read that and think he's talking about the perversion of sin or something. He's talking about self-centered view. He's talking about living for yourself. He's talking about self-desire. It actually uses the word lust. It says the spirit and the flesh, they lust after one another. In other words, not meaning chasing one another to marry one another. They have a certain desire. Each one has a certain desire and they work like this. In Galatians, right? It's escaping. So the biggest trap is when you're in the midst of this stuff is to think for yourself. Mordecai told Esther, think not of yourself. And she, I believe, type and shadow typified Christ, if you will, went into 3 days of no food, no water, and on the third day approached the king on behalf of all the people at the risk of her life. Because if she didn't do that, everyone would have been lost. Sound like a familiar message? Sound like a familiar love story? 3 days in a tomb, rising from the dead, going into the presence of God, and now everybody lives. It's just amazing. He's in every story. But what was the thing that got her there? Think not for yourself. Deny yourself. Greater love hath no man than this. He would deny and lay down his life. You overcome the enemy through the word, through the blood and the word and love. Not your life. It's huge. It's huge. So we escape the self-centered thing of life. The way we've preached the gospel for years and years and years is very damaging. We've tried to draw crowds, accommodate people's sentiments, promise them blessings for their families and all that stuff. And then when things don't go right, we're a mess and where's God? And I thought He loved me. And we've done that to ourselves. We've made it all about Him providing for us, Him taking care of us, Him keeping us, Him doing good things for us. And He's already done more than we can imagine by sending His Son, and we don't understand the message. It's so that we step in and follow Christ in the face of a twisted, obstinate, perverse world where nothing's fair. That's why you have to carry your cross or you'll never follow Him. We've missed that for generations, probably. And we've just made it a wholesome gospel of God providing and God taking care of us. And we know all the scriptures that promise comfort and peace and protection. And we have them all plastered on our houses and plaques and walls. But you don't have the ones on your walls framed and all pretty and matted. Talk about dying and being crucified with Christ and loving not your own life. Come hell or high water, I ain't changing my mind. We don't have them. You just said, bless me, Lord. Bless me. Oh, God. Oh, I'm in trouble. This stuff is so important. Because if you don't see what the gospel's saying, you won't perceive life clearly. And somewhere along the line, you're going to get hurt, discouraged, deceived, and draw back. It's just true. You got to understand and settle in your heart why you're here, why Christ came. He came to get inside of me so I'm no longer alive. So Christ lives in me. You know, Paul's triumphant. You know, we don't preach it much. We don't. It's Galatians 2, I believe it's 20. Yeah. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer, listen to the language of this, how militant and awesome this is. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, in my body, is what he's saying. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Isn't that amazing? Do you hear that triumphant statement? He's saying, I've arrived. I'm in Christ now. I'm what I was created to be. It's what God saw. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. I'm in the position that God foreordained before the foundation of the world. I'm in that place. Oh, how triumphant is that? And it's not him who lives. You know who's writing that, right? Who wrote that? Okay, now you understand why he's struck down and not destroyed. Why he's all those things, not forsaken, not he's not in despair. He's perplexed, but not in despair. Why? Because he's loving not his own life unto death. And even though he's perplexed, it doesn't lead to despair, because you have to consider yourself to be in despair. You have to get your eyes off of trust and truth and longevity and purpose and destiny to be in despair. You have to pick yourself back up to despair yourself. He admitted he was perplexed. He was pressed on every side. He didn't even have a window to breathe. So I bet when he's writing, he knows what he's writing. We're pressed on one side sometimes, and it's the side that's stumbling us. And until that changes, we can't be free, we think. It becomes our issue, our major prayerless topic, and it has to change or else. And I'm telling you, that's not true. I want it to change. I wish it wasn't there in the first place. But it's just not true. So also for this very reason. So do you see how God writes? You know, in my Bible, I have verses 2, 3, and 4 totally rainbowed. It is a total rainbow scripture, man. There is so much purpose and so much destiny wrapped in those three verses. God's will and intent is so revealed in those three verses that it's so foundational, it's incredible. And we could get caught just reading our Bible for what it says. You see what I mean? Instead of taking your time and really understanding and seeing and giving yourself to faith and prayer and exchange with God. You start reading stuff like this, man, you could sit on your bed and you could talk to Jesus for 45 minutes on them three verses and not repeat yourself. If you let the Word inspire your heart to pray and commune. So because this is established, he's saying, for this very reason, because this is true, because we have been partakers of the divine nature, we've escaped the corruption that was destroying us, that self-centered view, that self-focus, that selfish thing. And we've received from him. For this reason, we're going to with all, what? Diligence. So growing weary is not even in the picture. You got to just set your mind on this. Doesn't Colossians say set your mind on this? Why? Because your mind and emotions want to be weak and wander and cater to the flesh. You got to crucify that. You got to say, no, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? Did Christ not die? Am I not called? Does not the Spirit of God live in me? Is there not a greater purpose in my day? I'm not going there. That's a zero. You're kidding me, right? You got to get militant and set your mind. Come on. Satan's going to toy and tat with you and take you into the playground of the emotions. And now you don't feel love. So you aren't or something. That's not the way it is. For this very reason, we're going to give all, what? All diligence. Not even some. Do you like how he writes? Take your time when you read your Bible and see what he's really saying. Do you see how I'm breaking this down and how much there's there to teach? I read 3 or 4 verses you could take all day and teach right here. And make sense the whole time and not get redundant. We're giving what? All diligence. Not just some of our heart. We're given all diligence to remain in this place. We're selling out. We've got, watch this. This is not an over-militant view. We have nothing else to live for. The reason we're here is His great name. To manifest Him, even when it feels like you're losing, you can look like and shine like and reveal the Son of God. The only way we're losing is when that gets lost. And He's still God, still the same, and there's still redemption. Boy, I'm glad we're His children and not just the devil. We could never win. Can you imagine that? Fighting against God? So let's not kick and scream and fight in our own right. Let's just yield and surrender and say, yes, Lord. I'm serious. The devil can't stop His mercy. The devil can mess with your head and get you to believe every lie on the planet, and God still knows who you are, and the door is still open for you to sit on His lap and be nurtured by Him and fathered no matter what. You cannot change the heart of God. There's no turning, no shifting, or shadow. Can't stop the mercy of God, Jesse. There's no way. Mercy endureth. Yeah. That's why a million years from now we'll be in His presence. Nothing will have changed. And we'll still be honoring the blood because we'll fully understand, I believe, by that time. And the worship will be amazing. And we won't be trying to labor our way through our crisis and emotions to reach Him and plowing the ground. No worship leader will have to get the right song to touch the corporate hole. And you know what I mean, worship leader Randy. Let's get them activated. All our worship leader conferences, how to get them activated and breakthrough in worship. You know why we need a breakthrough in worship? Because we got our eyes on a million other things. And it proves every time we gather together, if there's a breakthrough needed in worship, it proves that we're distracted and we've got our eyes on things outside of truth. Because no matter what we're going through, if we saw Him clear, we're on it. We're static and ready. He's amazing. Not that you have to scream, shout, and jump, but your heart's there. The average Christian, if the rent just got supernaturally paid, they're up front waving four flags, two in each hand, jumping and screaming. 2 months later, the rent's not paid, and they're three aisles back like this with tears in their eyes, hoping somebody comes and ministers to them. I'm telling you, I've seen it. And it proves that we don't understand why we're in this thing. And you make yourself an easy target for the devil. He loves when he locates that stuff. Because he'll just... Your whole life, he loves that. Oh, God. You guys okay? We're just trying to take communion. We're gonna. You know why? This is gonna be one of them all that is mine is yours days. Because all that is yours is mine. What did he hold back? What did he reserve? Come on. You look at this right here and you think about what this means. Really, seriously. Just look at this for a minute. What does this mean? What does it represent? What did it cost? What did he give? What did he go through? What does this actually mean? You tell me what he held back. You tell me what he's asking of you that he didn't already walk through and fulfill. You tell me if there's one thing he's asking you to give yourself to that he didn't already follow. Not one thing. There's not one commandment that he put on you that he didn't walk through. He's saying, follow me, guys. If I gave all that I am, you show me what else there is to give. What else is there to give? There is nothing, is it? So all that is his is ours. It's a marriage covenant. It's I give myself to you, to love you, to honor you. And you go, I do. Right? But it's more than a starry-eyed, I do. There's a response in covenant that turns around and says, because of the first love turns around and says, I love you. And all of a sudden, this is you. Back to him. Do you get it? All of a sudden, this is you. Back to him. I've been crucified. I've just looked into your love. And it's caused something to die in me so that something could truly spring up and live for real and forever. I love you. and I give myself to you like you gave yourself to me. Your body for my body, I give it back to you. Your blood for my blood, I give it back to you. And love not my own life unto death. All that is mine is yours. I set my mind on you. You see how powerful this is? Or it's a traditional Sunday sentimental, wow, I love when we take communion. The atmosphere was so sweet. I'm not taking away from the sweetness of an atmosphere, but what I'm saying is it's more than goosebumps and it's more than, wow, I feel so comforted now. I'm not being rude. I'm being real. So we're going to give how much diligence?
All.
We're going to add to our faith virtue. That's like a high moral excellence. Virtue in that word right there means a moral excellence, a high value of character and living. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. Wow, temperance and perseverance. Perseverance is going to produce what? Godliness. Right? Don't think it's strange when you're thrown in various trials, etc. Know that it's going to produce perseverance, and perseverance is going to have her perfect effect that you be mature, complete, and lacking in nothing. Come on, that's so rich. So do we ever let go? Do we ever look back? Do we ever turn back? No, because we're already surrendered and we're already hands to the plow. To perseverance, godliness, so we're mature, complete, lacking in nothing. We're formed through the need to persevere. Remember, Hebrews 10, 34, 5, don't throw away your confidence, for it has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after the will of God is done, you may receive the promise. What's first and more important, receiving the promise or the will of God? What's the priority in that verse? The will of God. We could be living to receive the blessing. The priority is enduring to fulfill the will of God. The reason we're Christians is to fulfill the will of God, not receive the promise. And in fulfilling the will of God, the promise is here. It says it's God who works in you both to will and do for His good pleasure. Without you understanding this and giving yourself, you can't walk in that truth. And it's still there. Does this make sense? Who's working in you? He is. Godliness. Brotherly kindness. Wow. Be kind to one another, right? Colossians 3. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you're already forgiven. He's talking to somebody that just might have an issue. And he's saying, listen, you're already forgiven. Let go of your issue and forgive. Legalism says, I better forgive, so I'm forgiven. Grace says, I forgive because I already am. You guys all right? You good? I know we covered a lot of this stuff before. I say a lot of stuff same on purpose. It's on purpose. Because every time I open the book, it's there. You know how many times I've read through these scriptures in 16 years? You have no idea. It's a good idea to read them hundreds of times. I'd encourage you to put down a whole bunch of other books until you just read this hundreds of times. If you read a lot of other books, you get all the other little strains and views and things, and now you got four different angles coming in your soul. Now you can't even see this totally clear. You got influence in your mind. I want Holy Spirit to be my influence. I'm not against books, but yeah, actually I am to a degree. I just realized I'm not being honest. I believe we grab a book before we get alone and read a Bible, and I never understood that. Because some of us believe we can't understand this. So we're trying to grab somebody else's understanding. But Holy Spirit will assure that you understand this if you open this by faith. And I just saw something when I said that. I just realized God just fathered me in something and showed me a lot of people will do that because they don't believe they can understand this. But they just live by faith. And if you believe that, then you won't be inspired to get alone and open this because you already believe that you can't understand it. I wonder if you believe you can, and he'll give you understanding. You're not going to grow weary. You're going to seek him, and he's going to reveal himself to you. Do you know that you can buy countless books, and in the front they all say, "How, thank you, Jesus, for leading me to write this book." And the books are totally contrary to one another, and some of them completely opposites. But everyone believes God led them to write it. That puzzles me. I know one thing. God was led to write this. My Bible says it was inspired by him. Now that forces me to be humble, submit my mind, surrender my heart, and believe this is God. Or it's just another book. I happen to believe it's him. Did you ever notice that in front of almost all the books, the author is affirming that God led him to write the book? Did you ever notice that there's a whole lot of denominations on the earth, and it's because we can't agree and believe different things? It's strange to me because the Bible says the pure in heart shall. And that if you seek him in the secret, he'll reward you in the open. That if you continue in the word, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Isn't it amazing what's happened? I wonder if our motivations are personal sometimes. I wonder if the reason we read our Bible gets a little slant in it. I wonder if we just sometimes don't read it to know him, but to be right or to challenge something. I wonder if it's dangerous to seek truth with another motive outside of knowing him. You read your Bible to get out of a relationship, you'll interpret it in a way that empowers you to. You just will. You read your Bible to prove that God doesn't heal, you'll find every scripture that makes you think that. And you'll say God's leading you. It's your motive filtering your view. It's impossible to. I know the truth is huge and it's bigger than one straight truth. I know there's manifold wisdom to God. But he's not contradictory, guys. He doesn't shoot himself in the foot. We've shot ourselves in the feet. So it means something's going on more than the leading of the Holy Ghost. And then we run the risk of getting trapped just being right, and it's our camp and no one else's camp, and it creates a lot of stuff. I can't encourage you guys, and it's just on my heart big time this morning, and sorry if I'm being redundant. I can't encourage you enough to get alone and seek him for one reason. One reason alone. Not to fix things. To know him. I promise you he'll meet you there. Because he said he would. So I'm not making a promise that won't be kept. Watch this promise here. We're going to give diligence and add this stuff to our life because we understand why we're Christians. And if these things are ours, if we possess these things and they're manifested in our life and abound, watch the promise. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that pretty cool? Do you know? Barren. What's another translation? Does anybody have the translation useless? Idle. One of them's useless. Anybody have anything else there? Ineffective. Some of us feel ineffective. And then it makes us strive and drive to be better Christians and we get trapped in works. The Bible's saying just appreciate the love and mercy of God and just put on the truth and you'll be absolutely effective. We try to do better things. We try to bear fruit instead of be a good tree. It's true. Do you hear this promise? If these things are mine, if this is the result of my heart response to this truth of God's love and His righteousness and the like faith I've obtained with you. So if we're all in a like precious faith, then we ought to be responding in a like precious way. You got it? Because that's what it's telling us here. It's taking us all through the same gate. Watch this. And we're still diverse. We still have our own personalities. We still have our own desires in the sense of some like it fast, some like it slow, some like it loud, some like it soft. Who knows? That's not what makes us different. That's what makes us unique. That's what allows you to be the best you. That's not where you find unity, finding agreement in those things. It's the why behind your life. Those other things would determine uniformity. That's just Hitler's way. Everybody the same. Super race. Well, what makes us a super race is love. Not liking all the same things. You get it? Unity is found in our great diversity. We can have true, strong unity when we have that understanding. For if these things are yours, listen to this promise, you'll never be useless in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, your knowledge will always produce fruit. Now watch verse 9. This one little verse is what came on my heart. That's why I turned it there to take communion. I thought the chapter's just too good not to read. He who lacks these things. Lacks what things? Diligence. Moral excellence. Knowledge and control, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. The Bible's pretty narrow. Did you ever notice the Bible says it like pretty narrow? He's not being mean. Watch. Whoever lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten. Here's all he's tacking it to. He's not saying, well, brother, you got some curse tracking you for years and it's been on your family and that's why you can't see clear and you've got this and you've got that. Well, you got this going on. And guess what he's saying? You're forgetting you were cleansed from your old sins. You're forgetting what started this whole thing and authored it. It's the righteousness of God. And you're forgetting the beginning so you can't reach the end. And you're coming up with a reason why you can't be free. And you're coming up with a reason why you can't pray and why you can't have joy. And he's saying it's because you forget who you are because of me. That's the only thing he's saying. He doesn't have a list. We make the list and cater to our flesh and feelings and emotions. But God in His Word says, if you don't add these things, it's because you forget who you are through Him and don't see you're clean. Come on, that's powerful. You've forgotten you've been washed of your old sins. So we're still talking about the bully Barney on the block. And I bump into people and I say, well, please pray for me. They're 52 years old. This just happened. 52 years old. And I've said, well, listen, honey. Baby, yeah, but you don't know what it was like growing up. What does that have to do with anything? You're 52 and you're still using that. I'm sorry the way we all grew up. But Christ has come. The truth is here. The truth's here. What does it matter? You're forgetting. You're short-sighted. Even to blindness. Sometimes willful. Because you want somebody to make up for that. They already did. Jesus died and rose again and washed away all sin. So why are we still letting sin against us produce blindness and sin in us? Look, it's the Bible. It's not me. It's not my sermon. He did not give us a multiple choice reason why we're not adding these things. He said it's because you forget to see who you are through my cross. And you're letting something else define you. So that's why you're not motivated. That's why there's not gas in your tank. You're not compelled by the love of God. So you're not seeing through the love of God. And that's why you're where you are. That's what He says. So you can debate that till the end of time. But that's what He says. When you add things, it's what we say. And now we're contending. And building camps and rivers that God never dug the stream beds to. You wonder how clear the water could possibly be. Ouch. I know. Forgive me. Now I'm all revved up. I don't even know what to do. God help me. All I need is a cheerleader. I do not need a cheerleader, Barbara. No. I've been this way all week. It's ridiculous. You know, he who lacks these things has forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins. Must be important. God made it the only thing on the list. Can I talk real plain? Anything else becomes an excuse for no faith. I'm just talking plain. Because you have to believe this and start in faith. The just shall live by faith. Comes by hearing and hearing, and it works through love. God surely revealed His love through Christ and gave us His word. We ought to be really pumped. We ought to be going, woo! Anything else becomes a human, intellectual, rational way that seems right to man, excuse to not believe. And then the paradox is, we minister to that person through that excuse, accepting that excuse, and then we try to accommodate their unbelief and teach them to stay trapped in their feelings.
That's right.
This will sound arrogant to some, forgive me. One day you'll see I'm right. I wish it was today. You have no idea how much I know I'm right on that one. And that sounds so controlling. It's why I'm so passionate. I've searched this thing out and I've seen this thing clearly. And I watch what it does to folks. When I walk up to a lady, 52, and I can't even minister the word to her, because she cuts me off and yell butts the word of God. That's above His name. But she's praying in His name, not valuing His word, so she can't even see the power of His name. Cuts me off in the answer to make 40 some years ago more powerful than the word now. And you ought to see how I handle that stuff. I got real close to her face, big smile, but very intense. Honey, what does that have anything to do with? I know, but no, but not, no, yeah, but. Just go after that stuff like, because I knew this woman from before. I knew she's been through years of schooling, several years at Global, in hundreds of conferences. Your childhood's not going to go away. Unless you see new life through the blood, then that child already died. See, that child's supposed to be dead. The one they molested, dead. The one they didn't love, already dead. Died when Christ hung on the cross. I just wonder, when the Son of Man returns to the earth, will He really find faith? It's not in your Bible by accident. It talks about a persistent widow who wouldn't let go. It's a contrast parable of an unjust judge. And it's a widow who wouldn't back down and wouldn't change her mind. And she demanded justice. Demanded justice. And God said, man. Well, the judge said, man, this is wearying me. This woman, at least weary me. I'll just vindicate her. Get her off my back. God turns the table in the parable to a merciful, loving God. And says, how much more, if this unjust judge did this, how much more will the Father vindicate and come to those who cry out day and night? He's talking about not changing their mind, being established in truth, not up for grabs, not for sale, not a multiple choice mentality. And he says, however, when the Son of Man returns to the earth, will he really find faith? Or will he find people in church that believe they're still a product of whatever? Miss Linda, somebody have a microphone? Do you have a question, comment?
And Jesus says, will he find faith?
Will he find faith? People that believe and see who he is, period, and who they are through him, and don't let go and aren't weary and well-doing and discouraged. If you look at the parable, it's the contrast. So you flip that. So will he find people that really believe and are manifesting the fruit of believing? Or will he find people that have become the fruit and product of life and life lived instead of Christ and his life lived? Do you see what I mean? He's talking about identity and perspective and where you're living from. Here in 2 Peter, he's telling you, he's giving you, I am so glad there isn't a list of four or five things. See, I don't know about you, but I like that. I like that there's a narrow way. When you go through the narrow way, here's the cool thing. When you go through the narrow way called Christ, it's like, you squeeze through because it's difficult. Few are those who find it, it says. Why? Because it's a death to self. It's a death to former feelings, emotions, a renewing of mind. It's going through him and him alone where you become one with his heartbeat, his nature, his perspective, his mentality. Well, the lie crept in a long time ago that we're just people and he's God. Well, that was Jesus, brother. Who do you think you are? That lie's been on the earth for a long time. Right? But this is becoming one with him, and you're coming through the narrow way. But when you squeeze through, it's like, you go through this little door called Christ, and you can't see any walls when you get through. It's a broad place. It's huge. It's full of freedom and liberty. It's not, you're not living the rest of your life like this. Yeah, go ahead. No, this is good. I appreciate your question.
When we're taught to find that little girl back there that suffered all that stuff.
Right.
You don't go.
Watch what you do. Watch what you do. Father, there's a memory of a little girl that I've always called me. Way back there with so many memories and none of it's fruitful and productive. The truth is you came and showed me my value. People didn't see who I was. People didn't understand my destiny. People didn't know the truth about my life. But you showed me the truth about my life. And I call that dead. That is powerless. And I thank you that your blood has washed away everything that was suggested and said about me. I'm your daughter. I'm a queen. I'm married to you. My life is worth living because you shed your blood for me. People aren't doing that because they're feeling. Say, nuh-uh.
Amen.
But your heart cries out and says, yes, and amen. See, I can feel your heart searching. Your questions are very healthy. You know what? In the beginning of this school, honey, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, there was a hurting heart in you that would ask questions from pain. Guess where you're asking questions now from? A searching, inquiring heart. It's a totally different thing going on in you. Reach up and touch her. I want you to touch her. No, we're going to bless something. I want to pray for you right now, Linda. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in her precious life. Her life is so worth living. That little girl is so dead and so swallowed up. And I thank you, Lord God, that if people knew who they were and who she was, things would have been totally different. But they didn't. And we ask you to forgive everyone for ignorance and blindness. And we're asking you to forgive all of us, God. But Father, we thank you that truth has come and revealed the truth about us. So I thank you even right now, supernaturally. naturally. You just make all things whole and new in Miss Linda, because she's a brand new creation. She's one that's never lived before. All things that are past are dead, and all things that are here are new. And we bless her. And Father, I proclaim that there's a grace over her to see, a grace to understand. And I thank you that you have taken away the struggle of the mind, the emotions, and the heart. I thank you there's even freedom coming into her body right now, and into her flesh right now. Strength, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that she begins to see you clearer than she's ever seen you before. And in seeing you clear, she looks in the mirror and says, "Wow, hi, you woman of God." I thank you, Father. I bless her, and I bless what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. I appreciated your questions, Linda. Thank you. As a teacher of the school, what I appreciated most, it almost made me cry when you took the mic and asked the first question because of the heart. Not that you did anything wrong before. I totally understood it. You did everything, just it's where you were in that sense. But this, I saw so much growth and so much change in your heart. Just God's ministering to you all the time. And when you took the mic and asked the question, it really blessed me to see where that was coming from. I'm really excited about you and for you. It's not just hype. I'll be honest, I'm too much of a man of God to hype you. Yeah. Boy, it feels good to be able to say that and not be proud. Yeah. It's not my fault. Oh my goodness. Isn't it funny? I teach not to live by feelings, and I'm so full of them. They're fun, you just don't live by them. If I didn't feel this way, I'd teach the same thing. The reason I feel what I feel is because I believe what I'm teaching. So it's healthy. Yeah, it really is. It's fun too. When I said that to her about being too much of a man of God, he just rippled all through me, and I just can't even explain what I was feeling. Okay, I gotta recover. I don't even know where I was. Okay, we're cleansed of our old sins. Therefore, because you are cleansed of your old sins. Because he's just revealed so much here. See how I kept picking this up by faith? We're getting closer. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Make it sure. Where it's not just your confession. Where it's not just words. Where it's not just the party you're running with and the gathering you're attending. Make your call and election sure. As a matter of fact, life-giving and fruit-bearing. Amen?
Yay.
Now watch this. For if you do these things, he's not talking about works to be saved. He's talking about if you add these things to the truth of your life. If you give yourself with all diligence and add these things by prayer and by surrender and submission. And if you do these things, when he says do these things, it doesn't mean you have to do to be. What it means is if you're walking in this way of faith, this way of believing who you are now because of him, and begin to let righteousness and being clean and the truth of redemption put integrity in your heart and diligence and virtue and perseverance because of what you see. You get it? So if you give yourself and do these things, if you walk in this way, knowing you're cleansed from your old sins, watch this. An entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Christ. Watch this. I missed one of the most important things. If you do these things, you will never... Wait, that's blasphemy. Somebody wrote something wrong here. Because you all have issues. You're always gonna, and you're always gonna stumble.
Whoa.
You see why I cry in my bedroom and ask God not to let 1 ounce of grace available to change my life, miss my life, and hit the ground through wrong thinking? Because he's telling me that I can live free from offense and free from the fall of the flesh and free from stumbling. And he's telling me if I live this way, I'll be perfected through love. I make my election what? Sure, where my conscience is crystal clear. My faith sincere. Sounds like the recipe for the goal of our instruction and commandment is love. Through a pure heart, clear conscience, sincere faith. What's the goal of our instruction? To arrive at love. Not to be loved. He's not talking about to arrive at being loved. To become love. It's the goal of our instruction. It's the reason we're alive. There's no other reason we're alive. How's that for narrow? It's not to get older and find the perfect one. You already have if you've received Jesus. And in Jesus, you can find someone that can be really amazing in your life. You follow me? It's not just so you can buy a fancy car or have a house or go on a dream vacation. You're not alive for that stuff. That stuff's all fun and it can be a part of life in Christ. But the goal of our instruction is love. The reason you're alive is to be found in love. It's the reason you're alive. God's image. It's the reason He made man. Don't ever forget that, please. Or you'll let something trivial drive your life. When all hell is breaking out around you, when the things that you say you believe aren't happening and life's not making sense, you can still be love. That's what will take you to the answer and to the victory. That's what will keep you strong. When everybody's cheating and robbing and compromising, and even your friends are talking the way that seems right to man and telling you you're out of balance and it ain't like that, and you don't need to be so extreme. Anybody ever been taught that? Told that? We just need to accept reality and chill. It ain't all that. Who's ever heard people say that? Don't get mad at them. Just smile and keep walking because they're wrong. Okay? Don't get mad at them and don't let your heart get hard. Hi, Chris. You see what I mean? Make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will not as often stumble. Now wait, I was taught to never say, never, it was paradox. I was taught to never say always and never. Because it's never, always and never. And yet the Bible's full of alwayses and nevers. He'll always love you, He'll never forsake you. There's a whole bunch of them, actually. He'll never change His mind, He'll never turn and shift. And you, who ever heard not to use the phrases always and never because it's overstatements? And God's bold enough to use them in His book. So I guess God lives in a secure world than we grew up in. Man, I'm teaching happy today. It makes me happy. I'm not even teaching good. I'm just teaching happy. I feel happy. Make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never what? Stumble, and an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. Man, you prophetic folks, I mean, get creative. Just open your eyes. Man, this big old lifeline from heaven stuck somewhere in you, like a feed tube or something. Just over here, it's like, I don't know, I'm just saying. Get creative, have fun with it. It means something. You know, an electric cord, a plug somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Through seeing. It's through seeing. Yeah. Not doing. Get it? Yeah, hook me up, Lord. Yeah, you get little visions like that. The love of Christ compels me. Didn't Paul say that? Picturing just, yeah, staying filled and fueled in love. Just pulling over. Not at a Sunoco, but the love station. Fill her up. What's compelling him? What's driving him? Not need. Not people. Not circumstances. What's giving him life and causing him to live is love. Yeah, fill her up. See? It's just, I'm sorry I'm being so flaky with y'all, but you're relating. You guys are scaring me because you're relating. You're like, I love this. Keep it up. Give me one more analogy before break. You guys would hold off the bathroom for a couple of those. I could tell you enjoyed them. I don't even know. I'm preaching that. I'm like, what am I doing? I really saw the one. I saw this big hose. It looked like a fire hose sticking in me, and it had the bubbles in it. Boom, boom. I saw that's what I was seeing. I thought I might as well speak it. You know, it was funny. We just did a water baptism. Well, we did a handful of water baptisms this week in the St. Lawrence River. This one young lady comes down into the water and shares her heart and confession, starts to cry. And I saw something, so I just started to do it. I took water, and she's standing there ready to be baptized with her eyes closed. She's trembling. I took water, and I just started splashing her right in the face and all over. I said, you know, I see God. It was a very serious moment. She never even flinched. She just started. And I just kept splashing her. I said, you know, it's been like you've had sprinkles and glimpses and flashes. And started to prophesy. Just all over. It was just really fun because I had Bob Hazlett on the other side, and he's the prophetic dude, right? But he's like, yeah, and it was just fun. And we were there together, and we're like, because there was a punchline to it all. But you're going in and under and coming out, immersed in him, and got her out. So Bob just kind of drug her to the shore. It's just fun, little prophetic stuff. It's fun to see little stuff like that. It's great power. I was in a service once, and this lady had beautiful hair. She had hair. It was a real serious altar call, and it was redemption. And I'm going down the line, and I'm preaching like a madman for an hour and a half, and I'm praying for all these people, and there's 1,000 people there. And a lady comes up and taps me and hands me a fresh, cool water bottle, just like your honey would. I cracked it open, and the Lord said, don't drink it. Pour it over her. Didn't even hesitate, because I knew it was the Lord. She had pretty hair. The place went bananas. When I started pouring hair, she just stood there, and it just poured all down. The whole bottle. Emptied it. Just started prophesying. You know what happened to her in the morning? This was late afternoon. You know what happened to her in the morning? She was listening to me preach on identity, and this little condemnation devil slipped up and said, yeah, but that could never be you. You want to be loved like that, but there's no way because of this and this and this. And she's hearing and she wants to. Yeah, but. And there I am. Yeah, but. She got up, she went outside and got in the car and was crying, curled up in the car crying. This big thunderstorm came and it was pouring. It was that white rain. You can't even see through it. She said, the Spirit of the Lord came to her and said, what are you doing out here? You're being driven from the truth, driven from the message. You're being deceived. It's not time to curl up and cry alone in your car. Go back in with the congregation and hear the word of the Lord. She found a blanket in her back seat and wrapped it all around her. And she ran through the rain. She's got pretty hair. She comes through the foyer and she unwraps the blanket and there's water. She's soaked through the blanket. And there's water running down her face. And she thought, oh my gosh, I got to go to the bathroom and make myself presentable. She's a young lady. She's got to go check herself out and make sure it's not a vanity thing. It's just, this is what makes sure I don't look weird. She took 2 steps towards the bathroom and the presence of God just started to touch her. And she said, are you trying to tell me something, Lord? With this rain, are you trying to tell me that I'm clean? Are you trying to say I'm washed? And she started to weep because she wants to believe it. She runs in the bathroom, reds up, and comes back in service. The next session, I pour water bottle over her for the Lord would say, you are washed and clean, to never... And her story in the morning was rain all over her, and I took a whole water bottle and just doused her. It was so fun. Would you say he's pretty personal and intimate? You see what's wrong with me all the time? This stuff is always possible. He's always thinking like this, doing stuff like this. I had a 14 or 15-year-old fellow this week just clinging to me in love. It was so good. They walked up one night, God's healing and doing beautiful things, and I'm just kind of hanging out, watching and seeing where I can help a little, and I'm just overseeing, and we're training and teaching. It's beautiful. His family walks their son up and says, this is our son. He made a big mistake. He dove into a very shallow pool and went straight down and hit his head and really, really hurt himself. His neck's in great pain. He can't even turn his head. His muscles are all because of the injuries. He has pain down his neck. And I said, what can you do? He said, no, I really asked to turn it. He went. I said, it hurts that bad? He said, yeah. I said, well, let's just pray, man. We prayed, and as I was praying, I heard the Lord say, tell him to move it right away. I said, just begin to move it, and don't strain it. Don't try to move it. Graceful, let it move. Just start turning it like you would normally. In 30 seconds, he had not one trace of pain and total mobility. Watch how that affected him. He went, huh? And tears just out from under his eyes. He had glasses on. He just poured out. I said, pretty awesome, huh? He said, this is amazing. I said, it's God's love for you. I said, Jesus is real, son. He's not just a way of life. He's the Lord, and he loves you personally. And he's, yeah. I said, yeah, this changes everything. Because I realized he's another kid just coming to church. He said, it does. Well, the next time I come back into church, he's, hey! Wants to sit with me and everything. He's telling me about his mother. I said, what about your mother? I said, have people prayed for her? Oh, yeah, they all prayed for her. She's just in a lot of pain. I said, well, God's pretty alive in your heart right now, isn't he? You healed, aren't you? I said, move your head around for me. He went, it's amazing. Come on, let's go. So put your hand on your mama. I said, you love her, don't you? He said, I do. She gets all touched because it's her son. Command, Jesus' name. Bang, he prays. I said, go ahead, check your body. Not one pain in her body. She couldn't even lift her arms. She just... So I made a little friend. Josh. I went there on Sunday morning, and he asked if I'd sit with him. So I sat between him and his brother, who couldn't sleep at night, who had depression and anxiety, who went to bed at 11 and didn't wake up till the morning and had all kind of change. And he just was sitting right here. And Josh said, this was fun, because they're encouraged in reality in God. Amen. Must be pretty important to Peter writing this. Who wrote this? Peter in the Holy Ghost, right? Watch what he says. For this reason, I'm not going to be negligent to remind you always of these things. So he's saying what we just read is super important. He has a conviction that he will not be negligent in reminding. Come on, brother, you preach the same thing all the time. Come on, how about getting some fresh manna? How about giving us a new word from the Lord? How about becoming the one we've already heard? Not being me. But you know how we say that? I want some fresh. Here's Peter not being too fresh, but isn't he amazingly fresh? Who felt this morning this was fresh? To me it was. It was very fresh. Watch what he says. Watch what he did. You need to understand what he just did here. He just did like a little Kingdom Living School thing here. Look at this. He says, guys, I'm not going to be negligent to remind you always of these things. So don't get tired of hearing me say it. Because I'm always, wow, I thought we don't say never and always. He just did in two sentences. He used both of them. So I'm going to always remind you of these things. Watch. even though you know and are established in this present truth. So the people he was writing to actually understood, knew, and was walking in what he just preached, and he still preached it. Must be important to stay rooted and grounded, huh? Not be moved away from the hope in which you first heard. Take earnest heed of the things you heard, lest they drift away. It's not tedious for me to write the same things over and over, Paul said in Philippians, for to you it's a safeguard. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, that means in my body, alive, to stir you up by what? Reminding you. Knowing shortly, I'm going to put off this tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me. So he knew his time was running near. He knew he was about to be martyred, didn't he? Yeah. And he said, as long as I... And isn't it amazing? He wasn't discouraged. Well, you know, pray for me. I know they're going to take me out soon. Here he is. No, and he's a sojourner. He's a pilgrim. He's seeking a homeland. Right? So watch what he says. Even though I'm going to die soon, is what he's saying. I'm going to put off this tent. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things even after my decease or departure. I'll bet he did a pretty good job if we're here reading that chapter in 2011. I've often wondered what he meant by, I'll be careful to ensure. I wonder what he prayed. I wonder what he cried out to God. God, you've put them in my heart. You help me to nurture them. There's so many more little peeps that are going to hatch from generation to generation. This truth is so vital. God, it has to be in front of them. God, let this thing remain. You wonder what he prayed. How could he ensure that they always have a reminder except writing it down for them and keep it in front of them and trusting God with it after he dies? And here we are in this school, before communion, reading the very chapter that he's talking about. That impresses me, John. That really impresses me. Jesus looking at Peter. You know, Satan's requested that he would sift you like wheat. He's coming to get you. But I have prayed. It's not just like a sense of comfort. It's okay, Trisani. I've been praying for you, sweetie. I have. When I think about you. But watch this. But watch this. Satan has something in mind, but I've prayed. Did you catch that? Hello? How are you going to pray like that with that kind of confidence, be able to say that and believe that without being arrogant and presumptuous? Because you have confidence, you know who you are, and you know the will of God and the love of God for that which you've prayed. You ready to do this? And we'll go take a break. We'll actually take an earlier break than normal. Usually it's after 10:30, but, well, we didn't take this yet, so I won't. We're going to receive this. But as we receive, I want to encourage you in your heart to give. To just give all of you by faith and ask Holy Spirit to keep fine-tuning your mind and, yeah, hook you up to that pump of love. Amen? By showing me love and teaching me love through Jesus' life and through the Scriptures. And God, I want to see like never before, because what you revealed to me, I can become. You said, follow me, right? So take this right now and just think about it for a little bit and just get personal in your heart. We're not just doing this because it's what we do on Mondays. Isn't it awesome? We took all this time. I don't know about you, but I think it's awesome we took this much time just to get here. Because we're not just doing this because it's the first day of the week and it's what we do at the school. It has great power, great significance. And as often as we do it in remembrance of him and his death till he comes. Lord Jesus, we hold this before us and before you and say thank you. That's a pretty sad phrase. It's the best I can say right now with words. Thank you. It's so much deeper than that. And we're asking the power of what you accomplished and what you revealed and all the statements you made through the cross and the resurrection would mark our hearts and transform our hearts and multiply us into that same truth. When we receive this today, we're receiving the body given and all the effects of sin and the fall of man washed away and wiped away from our own flesh and soul because of the blood and the body. We just thank you right now that it's as if we've never fallen, never eaten the tree, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. We are free. And as we receive this, we enter into covenant with you and fellowship with you with our faith. And we say, we're one with you. You're not mad at us. It's pleasing to you to give us the kingdom. It pleased you to bruise your son. It actually makes you feel pleasure to make us one with you, because you were one with us from the beginning of time. And no matter how wicked and how contrary man became and how deceived, the power of your love brought us back, because you've never changed. You never let man have the power to change you, but you've remained in power to change man. And we thank you for the body of Christ. As we take this, we thank you that you held nothing back, and all that was yours is ours. And in return, the best we understand, we say all that is ours is yours. Everybody in this room, Father, has a little different angle in place they're at in their life of surrender, submitting, giving of themselves. A weak place being made strong. An unsurrendered place being wholly given. Give us wisdom as we receive this morning. And sharpen every area of our life. And cause every area to be fully submitted, God. And thank you for the effectual grace working in us. We take this right now and say, thank you, we're one with you. And nothing can ever snatch us from the palm of your hand. Death can't even take us away. That's amazing. Teach us to never fear death. Teach us to see death for what it is, and never see it as a finality, and never fear it, God. Let just this body pass away, but my whole being present with the Lord, and a brand new, incorruptible, immortal body in that day. Let us never fear death again as we take this, God. I'm asking for a grace to never fear death again. Even death can't snatch you or us from the palm of your hand. Where is your sting, O death? You've quenched the power of the grave. Thank you. We receive this in Jesus' name. Release your faith. Be personal right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we just take the cup and the blood that was shed. It's the blood of the new covenant. It's a new covenant. The tester has died and now rose from the dead. We're justified. We live forever in you. This New Testament is in action. This thing is rolling. It's greater glory. It's amazing. You don't change. You live forever. You're able to save to the uttermost, completely and forever, those who come to you by simple faith. As we take this cup, help us to understand the message and the power of the blood like never before. And teach us the integrity of giving our own blood. In the face of all things, let us be valiant warriors. Let us be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Let us be the people of God, and they will know us by our love. That doesn't make us pushovers. That makes us Christ-like. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Take a break when you're ready, guys.